There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
Hey, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where fur is for petting, backs are for scratching, noses are for nuzzling, and tails are not for pulling. Thanks for joining us.
Sometimes the openings disguise their sources. And then there's this one. Tails are not for pulling. A board book by Elizabeth Verdick and Marieke Heinlein.
I love this, that it's basically a lady who was like, I'm sick of little kids pulling dog tails. And yeah. I'm just going to write a book about it.
There's a dog that's like, you need to write my story.
He's like, help me. Just
tell
help
my
me.
Story.
Tell my story.
So
there you go.
Fantastic.
Welcome.
I spent a lovely weekend recently during the old spring break with my niece. My niece says, actually, June and Nora. But today's thing comes from June. June is a typical seven-year-old. Up until this time I saw her, she would usually be dressed like a princess, right? Because, you know.
Yeah, it happens.
She's a modern seven-year-old. That's what you do.
Programming.
Mm-hmm. Possibly unicorns involved. Possibly not. But definitely very princess. Well, when I saw her this time, Molly Wood, she was dressed like a Charizard.
What?
I mean, it was a Princess Charizard dress.
So no.
She was like combining her interests. But it was orange with like a little ridge on the back. And she is way into Pokemon.
Oh,
she made
gosh.
All of us open our Pokemon Go apps, blowing the dust out of them as we walked around San Diego.
Right. Update.
Yeah. What's my login? And then we played Pokemon everywhere. She's playing Pokemon on her father's old Game Boy that he gave her for Christmas.
Oh my gosh, really?
I was like, how did she get into Pokemon? Back. All the kids at school, they're into Pokemon. And so I drilled a little farther and I was like, okay, so she's into Pokemon because all the kids are into Pokemon. That tracks. But how did all the kids get into Pokemon? And
right.
Best we can tell, it's a confluence of the new game and a television series coming to Netflix. I might be wrong about that last part, but there's a new Pokemon television series out. And kids are back into Pokemon. Pokemon is back, baby, if it was ever gone.
If it was ever gone. There have been diehards who have stuck with it this entire time. I'm not necessarily one of them, but there's like a morning DJ radio lady that we listen to sometimes on the way to school who's still has stayed with it this whole time. But the fact that the kids are into it means it's probably going to have a whole other resurgence.
Yeah.
Dang. That's
Pokemon
a good one.
Pokemon is a thing. Oh, it has returned to its top thingness. How about that? Put it that way.
It's a Gen Alpha thing now.
Gen Alpha, good question. 7 years old? That's Gen Alpha, right?
So, yeah.
But is my 4-year-old niece Gen Alpha, or is she the next one?
How old are Gen Z kids?
Because Gen Z is in their 20s now. Like, I think only the tail end of the teens are Gen Z anymore.
Gen Z is 12 to 27 as of 2024.
Oh, 12. Really? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So actually, you're both.
So they're both solidly alpha in that case. Yeah. Okay.
Good, zero good. To 11.
Zero.
As of now.
As of now.
Is Gen Alpha.
Okay.
So wow, Pokemon Gen Alpha thing. I like the crossover of the thingitudes.
Yeah.
And
those old Gen Zs, they don't understand, man. Pokemon, it's worth it.
They don't even know. They just didn't even care. Millennials abandoned it.
Who are they? They're so ancient.
It's kind of perfect, actually, though, because, you know, it's sort of like there's a there's generational affinity with the one with every other one. So it's like,
yeah,
Gen X, you know, every generation rebels against the one that birthed it.
Sure.
But the one up, they get along with.
Millennials so like were Gen into Pokemon. Alpha,
yeah. And millennials were really into Pokemon. That's where I'm going. Thank you for untangling that.
Yeah.
That's actually, oh, go ahead, please.
No, I don't remember what I was going to say now. So, no. It doesn't take that long these days.
Because Gen X here.
I do remember. There was a story that Gen Z is the richest generation in their 20s of the past four generations.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Talk about buying power.
Like adjusted for inflation and all that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting. Why? Because they work or they have jobs available to them or wages are increasing?
Wages are up and there's more jobs available and they're better trained and better educated. I didn't read the whole article, so there's probably other reasons that I'm missing, but yeah.
Fascinating. Right on, Gen Z. Great job, kids. Well, that's funny because my first thing today is very much a Gen X callback made funnier by next generations not understanding it, but also just one of the most hilarious things that has happened in pop culture in a while, a true water cooler thing. And that is the Beavis and Butthead skit on SNL this past weekend. And I had to talk about it now because it's not going to be a thing next week.
Oh, yeah. Likely. No, this is definitely thing of the week, especially because Heidi Gardner just broke in half.
And like we all know that SNL skits get funnier
when they
in proportion to how hard the cast is laughing.
Absolutely.
And this was definitely one of those because clearly they had not showed her the makeup. So if you missed it, the original conceit is that Heidi Gardner is playing a news anchor who is conducting an interview with a professor talking about the dangers of AI, but seated right behind her is a guy who looks exactly like Beavis, and then she has to ask him to move, and then he's replaced by a guy who looks exactly like Butthead. And like, had nobody laughed, the funny part would have been this poor professor trying to be like, you don't know who Beavis and Butthead are? Because nobody in the skit understands it. So it's like a funny, no one knows who they are anymore. Sure. That would have been probably mildly amusing.
Yeah.
But then she looks back at them and loses her mind laughing. And I sounded like Beavis and Butthead laughing, watching it. I mean, I was like laughing out loud and I just can't. It's like a just complete serotonin boost. Like I just keep watching it because it gets funnier and funnier every time. And also they look exactly like them. And one of them is Ryan Gosling. And that is hilarious.
There's some ingredients here that enhance the flavor, right? The fact that it's Ryan Gosling is one of them.
And they look, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's so great. And yes, I have heard actually, Scuba Heart points out in our chat that a friend compared it to the cowbell skit. It kind of, I think it has that staying power. Like the cowbell skit. Now, then, of course, I had to read all the dissections on threads of like, well, the cowbell skit was funny on its own, and it was so funny that they cracked. And this was only funny. Who cares? Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
This skit is going to have the same callback potential, I think, because it's like everyone was talking about it. It was sent to me in 19 group chats. It's just the thing of the week. It's just the thing of the week.
Heidi Gardner did an interview talking about how it gave her anxiety for the rest of the show.
They interviewed her about it. Like, it was such a hit.
Yeah.
And yes, it stressed her out completely. Poor thing.
And Heidi Gardner, she's if you're not watching Saturday Night Live, like, she's one of the stars now. She is a jewel. Mm-hmm. She has been, you know, she's been on it for years. She's probably headed towards her exit and her movie deals and TV shows and whatever. But she's at the top of her game, too. So that's the other thing. It's like, it's not one of the featured players who just joined this year.
Right. No. And she doesn't crack. Like, she's so good and so profesh.
Yeah.
And so then the fact that she did crack makes it just even funnier.
More delicious.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. And everyone's talking about it at the end.
I have a thing that is also only good for this week. 1 week only is also somewhat hilarious that everyone's talking about it this week. It is Grimes at Coachella. Grimes, the DJ, performed at Coachella. And if you don't know that, that's normal. DJs perform at Coachella a lot. There's several dozens of DJs, you might say, performing at Coachella. So it's not that Grimes was performing at Coachella. Grimes performing at Coachella is perfectly normal. It's the fact that her technical failures just kept complicating each other. And she kept just trying to roll with it. So early in the set, you see the weird guy out there and she's got her skull cap, like not skull cap, like a Jewish thing, but like a skull that she's wearing as a helmet.
Right. She's wearing a skull as a head. Yeah.
She's wearing a helmet. And she's like, you know, doing the DJ pump and playing the beats, but then turning to the guy and like, blah, 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 blah. So you know something's wrong, but you don't audibly know. And then the guy comes back. And then pretty soon the beats are doubled and things are playing at high speed. And eventually she has to stop and apologize to the audience and took responsibility, said, it was me. I added a track at the last minute that screwed this up. That's my fault. I will fix it and come back next week. But she had to cut it short.
Well, and there were like multiple stops and apologies, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
then there was I'm fast forwarding as her songs did like through of the various problems that she had.
It really, I mean, I saw this everywhere. And it was just, you know, and there was a lot of internet schadenfreude. And she did have a touch of the Elon because of two things. One, she rode in, if you are not familiar, by the way, Grimes is Elon's ex and has some kids with him or whatever. She rode in on like a big spider. And then
why there was a guy driving the spider, because it wasn't being driven. Like, why isn't she sitting in the front of the spider?
I don't know, but it's like the humanoid robot that's just a guy.
That wasn't the weirdest thing that happened in her set.
It wasn't, but it was all shades of the same thing, right? It's like there's a humanoid robot that's also just a guy in a robot suit. And then she's in this mechanical spider that's being driven, but the guy's not driving. So like, why is she on there? And then she keeps saying like, this is unbelievable technology. It's like, this is really, really complicated technology that we're dealing with here. And I'm having to do like a lot of math, which then caused all these people to, you know, be like, really? Because it seems like it's just doubled.
Memes.
And they were just,
yeah,
the memes went on and on and on. And yeah. And then there was the like, why is she DJing at all instead of singing? Because she's also a singer. And it was the other talk of the internet. It was the pop culture thingity thing, thing, thing.
Listen, I saw so many like clowning, you know, TikTok videos and things.
So many.
Where people were like, I don't know what was wrong. I thought Grimes' set was great. And it's just them playing all of their songs at double speed. I listen to all my music at 2x.
This is very embarrassing because I'm old, but I do not care about EDM, right? I am not into DJ sets. Like, it has never been my thing. I do not like it. And when the music was playing and then she came on and started to apologize for it being at double speed, I hadn't noticed.
You didn't know.
I couldn't even tell. I was like, it's not supposed to sound like that. I hadn't heard anything before. I was like, honestly, she could have just powered through and like, I wouldn't have known. People would have been dancing really hard or something. I don't know.
I think she tried to do that. I think she did because it's a while before she finally gives up and makes her first apology. But
yeah,
because the first thing that came off was the helmet. Then there was the first short apology, and then, yeah, eventually she just stops.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. She had a pretty bad day.
She'll be back. She'll be back for week two. The second weekend of Coachella is this weekend.
It's kind of amazing that they are just, they're going to let her.
I don't think Coachella.
Presumably, she's going to sell tickets. Like maybe they're, you know,
Coachella isn't going to throw stones because I don't know how much of Coachella you partake in, but my wife and I partake in much of it, and they have audio issues. They had them last year, and they have them this year. A switcher issue with ATs when they were performing, where you could tell the camera op was just told, I don't know. Try to zoom a lot and follow them because we can't switch off your camera. It was just like manic, like, okay, because it's a big dance group, right? So he's like, right. I guess they're over there. I guess they're over there. I guess, and we're like, why aren't they switching off this one camera? I'm like, oh no, their switcher's broken. Like,
there's just kind of janky.
So I don't think that is what happened with Grimes, but I think Coachella is going to be like, well, we aren't going to be whatever. The first one to throw a stone here.
I mean, I guess she owes a make good too, so there's that.
There's that whatever, too. But, yeah, no, good point.
Yeah. Anyway, it was. We could talk all about the technical part of it, but the main takeaway here is it was a thing.
Oh, definitely a thing.
I have a thing that is not a pop culture thing of the week and seems to, I would suspect, have some enduring appeal, especially for those of you who have a spouse with different sleeping needs. My second thing this week is sleep divorces. Apparently, there is now a name for what used to happen in like the 30s and 40s and 50s and whatever, when people would sleep in different rooms.
Not even just separate beds, because when you say 50s, you immediately think of I Love Lucy, right? Like, we're talking like totally separate rooms. Yeah.
In this case, we're talking, yeah, or presumably, right? Like, but anyway, the idea is a sleep divorce, which is where a married couple or a couple who cohabitates or whatever gets their moves to separate rooms or to separate beds minimum. And there is a big New York Post article about it from the end of December about how there was, I suspect that the kind of flurry of coverage about it, because I saw it in the Wall Street Journal this week, April 2nd. And it was like, you know, they got a sleep divorce and their marriage has never been better.
I'm sorry. I'm reading the Wall Street Journal article. I'm looking at the Wall Street Journal article about it.
Exactly.
The Pearsons' six-bedroom home in Laguna Niguel has two primary bedrooms on separate floors. So relatable, you know?
That's what I was going to say, too. I was like, most of us are just going to have the two beds, 50 style, like a little twin one over here, a twin one over. But they have a six-bedroom house with two primary suites. Yeah, they're the least relatable.
Ryan is 6 feet six and snores like a chainsaw and once punched Elizabeth in the face while sleeping.
Oh. Wow.
This is a reality show. This is not an example of sleep divorce.
I
know.
I mean, it really is. Yeah, exactly. we have a great sex life, said Elizabeth, because we're not pissed off at each other throughout the day for something that is uncontrollable, like sleep and snoring and sleep punching. Apparently, I added that last part.
Well-rested people are more patient, more engaged, and more present. Yes. That's amazing.
It's amazing. Of course, the whole thing is amazing.
I don't know.
And this is the most Wall Street Journal story ever.
Oh my God. But I won't out them by name, but they're friends of mine who are couples who have done this for years and swear by it and say like, oh yeah, no, it definitely helps.
My mom and my stepfather specifically shopped for a house with two primary bedrooms that they could, because he has like a CPAP. And I mean, it's really like, It is. I was in a relationship where just sadly toward the end, I think we were like in a hotel room that had two beds. And it was like, you're not a good sleep. You can just go over there to that one. And I was like, this is amazing. Game changer. Like, I'm all in on this concept. And I think it is very funny that it has a name and that people are, trying to be loud and proud about it, which I appreciate because it probably lessens the taboo. Because people are, in fact, more well-rested.
Yeah, it's not something I have experienced, although I also have been married for 20 years. But the thing that we have going on, Eileen and I, is that she goes to bed much later than I do. So I wonder if that helps, right? Because by the time she goes to sleep, I'm out. And then she goes to sleep, and then I get up in the morning earlier. Anyway, yeah.
Really,
whatever works for you is what works. It's not shameful to sleep in different rooms or different beds.
No. And obviously it's common enough that now they've given it a name and that's what makes it a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will say there is a very funny comment on the New York Post article about it from January. It says, I strongly advise against sleep divorce. I did it and have to pay my mattress $1,500 a month and I only get to see my pillows every other weekend. That's funny. Oh, the money one. That was funny. Yeah, funny because it's a divorce joke.
Yeah, see? It's alimony. That's money. Funny. I also don't think everyone needs sleep divorce. I could already see people like saying, oh yeah, sleep divorce. You should try it. I'm like, well, oh, God, if you need
absolutely.
It. If you need it, try it. But
no, this is going to become, this is yeah. going to be TikTok flattened.
Yeah.
And that it's just going to be like, no, you have to.
If you haven't sleep divorced, you're risking your relationship.
There is kind of an Uber thing in this sort of like extreme. I mean, we talked about it with, I think, various other topics. But yeah, this idea that once it hits TikTok. we were talking about it with attachment theory. It's now, I think, honestly, you know how we've talked about menopause being a thing?
Yeah.
The TikTok version of menopause now, or the Reels version, is also a thing where it's like, well, now that we're talking about menopause, every damn thing is menopause. Oh, I mean, it's just, it's like... It's just now it's just so absurd. Yeah. And then the like, and then the health trends and the AG1 and the this thing. And then there was like a big article about people going on vacation to a spa and get like IVs with the blood of the innocent in them. You know, it's just like, Jesus Christ, people.
I call it the gluten-free effect. Like those of you who have an actual sensitivity to gluten, I am not belittling or minimizing your condition. But when it first became a thing that people became aware of, suddenly... A lot more people claimed to need gluten-free than were needing gluten-free. And some people started to be like, well, gluten's just bad for you. It's like, no, it's bad for people who have gluten problems. It's not necessarily bad for everybody. So not everything has to be everybody's problem. You know, it's not a bandwagon.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you could become aware of something and be like, huh, it turns out sometimes when I eat a big bowl of pasta, I do feel tired or bloated or whatever.
Which is
my
great,
body doesn't
right?
love this, right? Yeah. And then it's like, oh, okay, I can be this. But nobody ever can be anything halfway. No.
No. Yeah.
Definitely not.
So sleep divorce.
Sleep divorce or die.
Saray, I think, has it right. Maybe try out a sleep separation first.
yeah, there you go.
Take a break.
Or just have like sleep date nights.
Yeah.
Sleep polyamory.
Actually, I wonder.
You sleep over here some nights.
I sleep in all. Wait, we have a 6-bedroom house in Laguna Niguel. I got bedrooms all over the place.
I'm just picking a room. I'm gonna sleep polycule.
I wonder if people have intermittent sleep divorces. We're like, oh no, we could sleep in the same bed like once a week. But that's it. That's the max. You know.
Sleep visitation. Absolutely. Sleep visitation.
Oh, so good. So good.
I love it.
And I actually know that y'all are going to make it even funnier with your emails, feedback, and it's thing.me, like this one from Jody in Minneapolis on music and language. Ooh, highbrow. Hello, Molly, Rich, and Tom. I've noticed lots of coverage about the role Black people have had on creating country music since Cowboy Carter came out. That's Beyonce's new album. The fiddle player on Texas Hold'em, Rhiannon Giddens, has been doing this work for decades. Alice Randall has been writing country lyrics, doing activism and academic work for decades, and just published a book and an album, My Black Country. Both are getting interviews and coverage. Molly's former colleague, Kai Rizdahl, interviewed Dr. Randall this past week. The second thing is the phrase wear or tear. It seems to have begun as meaning, would you wear this fashion or tear it up? I've also seen it used for a general thumbs up or thumbs down on any topic. Thanks for all the work and the good times. Thank you, Jody.
Well, that's amazing. Also, yes, I am very, very happy. I will never not be happy about how early we were on the Yeehaw agenda. Mm-hmm. Because the talk about sort of reclaiming the kind of Black history of the American West is obviously at 11 right now due to Cowboy Carter.
And wear or tear. Good one.
Wear or tear, I've never heard. In that's a good spot. I'm gonna be looking out for that one. That Charlie dude wrote in and said, I have an adjacent trend to everything showers. I have been seeing in my social media feeds husbands reacting to their wives taking everything showers. They're usually comedic videos punching up, showing husbands how good they have it because they usually don't have to take everything showers, or they don't know the work that their wives have to go to make themselves presentable in their minds for their husbands. It's fun seeing husbands realize how good we have it and how much their wives love them by spending so much time getting ready. Ah, man, the male gaze.
Not value may not hold for all values of men. was my first reaction.
I know. I'm like, that's great.
But there's a good swath of men in the U.S. that this probably holds true for. So, yeah. Gotcha. Yep. Gotcha, Charlie dude.
Absolutely. And a decent swath of men in the U.S. taking everything showers.
Yeah. And the I immediately started thinking of the beauty routines of Korean men, which will put you to shame. All of you,
right?
In the United States.
All. All. No matter what you identify as, and no matter how much you pluck and moisturize and trim.
Yeah, it's just it's a whole different level. Deborah wrote in with a thing trifecta. Last weekend, I was on vacation in Charleston, South Carolina, and encountered welcome in all over the place. Might be regional because I haven't really run into it at home in Boston. But the next thing I saw was smoking. Lots of cigarette smokers out on the sidewalk. And the third thing I saw was tanning. Not sure if it's been mentioned here, but I remember reading about it being a thing in the Washington Post. It was baffling to me. We went to the pool to swim, but apparently everyone else was there to just lay out around the pool and to specifically try to tan as though it was the 80s again. I thought we'd give it up on tanning because of skin cancer, but apparently it's back.
Oh my gosh, this Washington Post article, this is such a good find.
Yeah, this is really good, Deborah. Also, fast forward 20 years, for you know what else is back? Skin cancer.
Right, exactly. And then how quickly we forget. Wow, this is amazing. There is a reascending popularity of tanning beds. There is a hashtag tanning, which has generated 4.1 billion views.
I just think those in cycles, but that's that one and smoking together, weird ones.
Right? It really is like nihilistic 80s kind of vibes.
Do you think it has to do with our increasing success of treating cancer in any way? Like, cancer in the 80s was a death sentence. Yeah, your friend got cancer, you were like, I'm so sorry, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
These days,
it really could be.
It can still be, but it isn't always. I've known plenty of people who've, you know, survived and maybe not forever, but I wonder if sort of the softening of the reaction make people go like, well, yeah, it's not that bad, which I think is a bad idea, but you know, psychologically.
I'm sure that you're right though. I'm sure that you're right. And also rates have probably declined. Like rates of lung cancer and skin cancer have declined due to most people not smoking and most people not tanning all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, not to like take it up a notch, but frankly, it's much like vaccines and the anti-vax movement. Because we do not see polio and smallpox and kids dying of measles, we're like, those aren't real. I mean, that it literally is just like
that's some people's brain, you know, the reaction to it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so the attention span is like, yeah, it must be fine. I'm sure smoking's not that big a deal.
I'm happy about this for one reason. I'm not happy about it for a lot of reasons, but I'm happy about it for one reason. I have never been able to kick the habit of calling it suntan lotion instead of sunscreen. I don't know why, but now I could. Now it's back. It's suntan lotion. People put baby oil on their skin pretty soon, so we're.
I will say that as a lady who lives in California with two dogs that I take outside a lot and a pool, I'm always like a little too tan.
Yeah. Local hazard.
I guess I'm happy to be back on trend.
You know what I do? I always put put sunscreen on my nose.
Yeah. I mean, I try to
wear it all the time, but like every time I go outside, because I go outside multiple times a day, got to let the dog out, got to get the trash can.
Yeah.
I always put it on the nose.
Yeah, that's super smart. Nose. I have a sunscreen moisturizer, don't worry, that I put on every single day. But also, I live in California with two dogs in a pool.
Yeah, reapplying. It's hard.
It's hard.
There's a startup idea.
My turn.
A self-sprayer that just, at the time when your sunscreen is about to wear off, just automatically pops up out of your shoulder and sprays you.
Like
down.
A little shower. Oh, I see. Oh. Yeah. Or just spray tan. Could do that instead. One time I got a spray tan and I looked slamming. I was like, whoa, spray tan is awesome.
I was trying to protect you from the sun. But yes, also spray tan. Does a spray tan protect you from the sun?
No, God.
No, oh, God. Yeah, okay.
And I'm sure that everything that is in it is absolutely death.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah. You spray on death.
Yeah, those are the dogs of Molly Wood saying, yes, do not get a spray tan. We will never abide our mother getting a spray tan and complaining vociferously about it. Should I just read Barbara's email then? Okay. Barbara has some things. Hi, Toddles, Models, and Roddles. I have a couple of thing checks for the Thing Masters.
Paint, is that us?
Yeah.
Toddles, Roddles?
You're Models, I'm Toddles, Rich is Roddles. Paint your friends. Friends sit across from each other and freehand paint the person across from them. It seems to be the next generation of sip and paint, using Jeebus instead of Jesus. I've seen comments in social media and on games that say something to the effect of, thank Jeebus, or what in the name of Jeebus were you thinking? Are they things? Past pick thing? I ask you. Well, I can definitely confirm Jeebus has been around for a long time. That is definitely a thing. You're spot on there.
Yeah,
I've not seen new. Paint your friends. Sure. That's an interesting one.
No. Wait, so you don't paint on the friend. You paint good question. The friend.
There's a link that I should probably look at. I'm guessing you're doing freehand, right? Freehand paint. So I think that means you're like just painting a picture of them, not on them. But let's check the tape. Yeah, yeah.
No, oh, yeah, yeah. You just paint a picture of them. Oh, that's fun. That's a fun party thing.
That's fun, yeah.
Because it's hilarious because everybody's bad at that.
You know? Except it's fun unless until you have like Scott Johnson or Lynn Peralta at your party and then they're making like
picture. See, that's the problem is you know too many people who are good at painting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's get to the shout outs. These are the human shout outs. We already had the dog shout outs just a minute ago, but the,
my apologies, by the way, it was a late afternoon dog walk.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Our shout outs are based on a history of the Ian knot for tying shoes today. The Ian knot. Are you familiar? I am not.
I mean, is that the knot? Like the one that we all use?
The Ian knot.
What is the Ian knot? Now I need
to know. Oh, it's the shoelace. It's the shoelace.
It's the shoelace.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and it's that super fast one that people do. Like.
So does this mean Rich is teaching his kids how to tie their shoelaces? Is that why this is our shout out?
I bet it does. I bet so. There's a flip book about it. Ian, there's a whole Ian knot shoelace site. Okay, wow. Okay.
Rich wrote it all caps. No, that's what preschool is for.
That too. Yes, absolutely. All right, well then, today's shout outs. Thank you for supporting us at the shout out level at patreon.com/itsathing. I want to apologize actually before we get through the shout outs for letting people think that they were going to get the bonus content last week at less than the $5 level. I had a friend text me and be like, I keep refreshing the site trying to get it because I'm at the $2 level. I know. And we didn't say it until all the way at the end. Yeah, so I'm throwing that in there now. But yes. Okay. Shout outs. Shall I begin?
Please do.
30 June 1982, the birth of the Lara Abel knot. One morning, after breaking yet another Kevin Sill, Baylor Trucks noticed that it always seemed to be the Morris Jones end of my Jake Woods that broke. Because the regular method of tying Benjamin Forrest is not James C. Smith, Lee Price figured out that the AB puppy that experiences the most Brian John Fraccaro simply wears out more quickly.
When I examined AJ Venturella and found that they could be made symmetrical, Eric Duncan discovered quite by accident that the resultant Gabriel Cohen was also much faster, as a lot of time was saved by working with both Louis St. Amour simultaneously. Huh. Having mastered the new technique, Mike Akins then set about teaching anyone else who was interested. Mostly it was shown to friends and relatives and the occasional Joe Hood assistant.
He tried to keep it secret until the YouTube came along. So this must be the method where you make the two loops timed, you know,
and
roll
you
them
tie
around
the,
each other and then pull.
I don't know how to do that.
My son learned this one where it's just like, I mean, it's like the craziest thing I've ever seen. But maybe that's the Ian knot. Now I'm way down the Ian knot rabbit hole, weirdly.
Ian knot rabbit hole. I saw them at Coachella.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Anyway,
that was
yes.
It was pretty good. It was technically proficient.
I mean, it was better than Grimes. I want to thank you for supporting the show at any level. And yes, at the $5 level, you get the bonus show. At the $10 level, you get more things that I don't want to get wrong. So just go look at our site, patreon.com/itsathing.
And thank you. And thank you. And keep the emails coming. It's a feedback at itsathing.me. And then you can support the show. We're switching it up today. I'm going to tell you about the shop because I love to shop. It's athing.me/shop where you can find affiliate links to all the cool stuff we've talked about.
See you next time, everybody.
Bye. Don't need no flashlight. See the truth.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.